Welcome to Add to Party, a friendship simulator masquerading as a new show. I'm your host, James Hartwell, and I'm joined by
Andy Kay, and I'm joined by
Derek Gostia.
Do you know there's like a moment of panic every time I start a recording where I'm like, I'm gonna forget the intro?
I literally was thinking the same thing. As you were speaking, I was like, uh-oh. Am I gonna remember what to say?
I'm the passenger princess in this intro. I get to sit there and wait for y'all two to do your parts.
I love that.
It's not even that long, but it's just for some reason, there's some days when we do it, it just rolls off my tongue. And there's other days where I'm like, dig for the next word. I need it.
Well, it's weird. It's like when you have that moment of self-awareness, like where you realize everything is happening and the world is existing and you're speaking words.
Yeah.
It's scary falling off of autopilot. I don't like it. I don't think much. I'm just vomiting what's in my head. So it's scary when I start to become deliberate. But thank you for pulling through, James.
It was touch and go there for a second.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You made it. You know what I think is touch and go?
What's that?
Oh, I just forgot the name of them. The little truffles, the chocolate truffles.
Lint? Yeah.
Are they called lint?
Yeah, L-I-N-D-T.
Yeah.
Lindor.
Thank you. I don't know how I feel about them. Like, sometimes they're incredibly delicious, and sometimes they're just not it. But I bring it up because I was watching a thing today, and they were talking about this chocolate that I was thinking of ordering. Insanely, they're like, it's the best chocolate. Some of their sets go for hundreds and hundreds of dollars, and they were talking about how great this chocolate is. It's the best. And then they hadn't tried a Lindor before, and then they tried a Lindor, and they're like, oh, yeah, that's better. That's better than $100 chocolate. And so I was thinking about that today.
Okay, well, first off, Andy, just so for reference, do you mean the red bag, the blue bag, the gold bag? What's your preference?
Thank you. I have a gold bag, and I just hate caramel, you guys. I hate it.
Really?
That's what it is. It's gross. But why? Are you a stan, Derek, of Lindor's?
No. Oh. God, no.
I love Lindor chocolates.
I have tried every single one and disliked them all.
Ooh. Wait, then what's your favorite chocolate? Does it cost hundreds of dollars?
No. I'm partial to the Japanese Kit Kats.
Okay.
All kinds of different flavors.
All right. Someone got me, they said they were going to get me chocolate from Germany. And I was like, oh, that's very kind. And then they got me a Kit Kat. Is that what you think of when you think of chocolate from Germany? Or should I think of that when I think of chocolate from Germany?
You should think about the Beethoven chocolates. I think that's in Germany.
I don't know, it's like one specific town.
They just have Mozart on the packaging of it. And it's like super popular as a gift, but it's actually not that good chocolate.
Oh, no. Is that how you feel about Lindor?
No. Lindor just, I don't know. It's like leagues better than Hershey's, but it's just, you know, I'm really just not a chocolate guy.
Okay. All right.
And I need some texture. Like back before Nestle got on my radar, I loved me a Crunch bar.
Oh, brother. I got some bunch of Crunches in my cabinet right now. Those are the best. I'm so excited to get into them.
Andy, Nestle killed babies.
Stop.
I mean, who hasn't?
Derek, how dare you? Don't put this on my mind, all right? There's no ethical consumption, even when it reaches those extremes. Gosh darn it. What about Oreos? Do we got problems with Oreos?
They're owned by Nestle.
Well, gosh. Wait, darn it.
No, I think it's Nabisco, isn't it?
Oh, it's Nabisco. You're right.
Oh. Am I safe, Derek?
I mean, Nabisco is pretty evil,
you're
too.
You're still partaking in benefiting capitalism, so.
Okay, well, that's where the no ethical consumption comes from. Actually, you know what, guys? I have a book about this. A lookup book that someone got me for Christmas. One moment. I'll be right back.
Andy's going to do a dramatic reading from his book that he got for Christmas.
Yes. Which, you know, he's excited. I'm excited.
That's fair. You don't like Lindor truffles, Derek? That's surprising, no. too. Well, you said you're not a chocolate guy. That's
like, okay, you guys. I have the Better World Shopping Guide. Every dollar makes a difference. Let's look up chocolate. How does this work? How does this book work? Coffee. Land O'Lakes makes coffee? Oh. Well, Nespresso got an F. Ubon got an F. Nestle got an F on coffee. We're not here for... Okay, chocolate. A-plus rating. Equal Exchange. Sweet Riot. I've never heard of these things. Endangered Species. No clue. Rapunzel. Not it. Godiva got a C-. Hershey's is at a D-. Oh, Crunch has a little cross and bones next to it. What does that mean?
Hey, hold on, Andy. What is this grade for? Is it like how ethical they are? How
I don't know. It's just the Better World Shopping Guide. Over 100,000 copies sold. Wait, Crunch? Oh my God. They're a corporate villain, it says. It's aggressive takeover of family farms. It has the most irresponsible corporation award. And it's involved in child slavery. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You're a monster.
Literally cross and bones or skull and bones. Oh, well, that makes me feel great, you guys. Let's look up video games. What is the most ethical video games? Vitamins. Do you guys take a multivitamin?
I've been every thinking day.
About that. I take really? Mini supplements.
You take many?
Yeah.
What do you take?
One for joints, turmeric, like stuff that's good for inflammation, beetroot, multivitamin, collagen and biotin.
This is becoming an old man podcast real quick now.
Oh, hey. My God, you guys, Centrum and One A Day have skull and bones.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Centrum is number 64 of the most toxic water polluters. Oh, my God. Oh,
hold on. Before any of the viewers misunderstand, I am not a health nut. I just have medical conditions.
Okay. Oh, I don't think that makes you a health nut. I take
multivitamins don't make you a health nut.
Yeah.
Oh my God, even Flintstones got an F rating. Oh my God, One A Day is number 3 in the 100 most toxic air polluters. Oh, this book! Oh! I'm throwing it to the side.
It's revealing everything that you don't want to know.
I'm like sick to my stomach right now.
I'm pleased with it.
Derek!
Look, your actions have consequences whether you admit it or not. God, so right. It's better to be knowledgeable and know who you're harming.
Oh, my God. Nabisco has an F. Is Nabisco the one that makes Townhouse crackers? Oh, no, that's Keebler. That got a D. Well, we're safe, guys.
Keebler's under Nabisco also, I think.
Oh, are they? Well, Nabisco has a skull. It's part of the worst company on the earth. Get out of here. Wait, who does anything good? Who's good at anything? What about
Ben and Jerry's maybe?
What's that?
Ben and Jerry's maybe?
Oh, Ben and Jerry's. I think they're pretty good. Here, let me look up.
Well, they are currently on land that was owned by Native Americans, and they're not giving it back.
Well, we all are, but.
Hey, you know what? That's not wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, even
sorry.
No, I'm like, I have a drop of native blood in me, and I'm still a conqueror.
That's terrible. True. We're all colonizers. Well, I don't want to say all, but Ben and Jerry's is an A-, by the way.
Oh, there you go.
So we're safe, guys. Pillsbury is a B. And then Snickers, oh my God, is on the M&M's 10 worst corporation list. Child slave labor paid $36 million to Washington lobbyists. Why does Snickers need to give $36 million to lobbyists?
Because fat is the enemy, not sugar, not carbs. And it's going to stay that way no matter how much it costs.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys. There's no gasoline company with an A rating. none of these.
I would say Schlumberger should get an A rating. They do excellent work, but they don't actually dig the oil. They just sell the drills.
Okay. Fast food restaurants. Chipotle has an A rating. In-N-Out has a B rating.
I'm not going to believe anything in this book after Chipotle gets an A.
Oh, wait. It has a star. Let me see what the star means.
Constantly infecting people with contaminated
green onions. That's because their ingredients are so fresh, Derek.
I mean, that happens.
You can wash them. Don't make
a mistake. 40% of their beans are organic, Derek. 40%.
So organic is sort of a vacuous term without an illegal.
Okay, that's standing. Fair. That's fair. Well, 70% of their meat is naturally raised. Oh, God, I guess the bar is pretty low. If it's only 40%, you get an A rating. Don't worry, though. The corporate villain is KFC. God, you guys.
Damn.
Anyway,
now, why? Because I did have a moment of weakness last week.
Oh.
And I just picked up a snacker because I didn't eat lunch.
Okay.
I was like, oh, macaroni and cheese and fried chicken and tortilla. I don't mind if I do.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I imagine they use corporate farming, which is awful. Their chicken is probably sourced from corporate farming.
Was it delicious, Derek?
It was.
You could really taste the sadness of the chickens.
You know, the suffering was balanced by the creamy mac and cheese.
Okay. Yeah,
exactly.
I'm looking at the beer list now, and New Belgium? I don't know what that is.
New Belgium. They make Fat Tire. It's a pretty good beer.
Oh, they get an A+. What about gin? I have to keep going down this rabbit hole, but this is like the first time I've actually used this book.
Well,
so
talking about grading things, we have two State of Plays to talk about.
That's right. Well, only one, because I don't want to talk about the other.
No, we're going to talk about the Final Fantasy one. Don't worry.
No,
we'll keep it pretty light.
For spoilers.
No, I don't think. I mean, no, there's no. Andy, I don't know how I could spoil you because I don't know the differences enough to tell you what they were.
How dare you? I will lead that conversation.
You'll be fine.
No.
It'll be okay. But anyway, first State of Play. There was a State of Play last week where, you know, it was, you know, everyone kind of went into it thinking, oh, this is, you know, your standard Sony's got to market things because they made a deal. But it actually wasn't that bad. Although I will say it started with a bad trailer for Stellar Blade, the Nier inspired game by who makes it? I think it's Shift Up is making it. I'm not sure who they are, but they had a very weird trailer that was narrated and just did not do the game any favors. I don't know if either of you watched it. I think it's very much a game. Again, very Nier Automata inspired, where you're a buxom young woman going through a post-apocalyptic world, and very there's a little robot following you. I believe the developer talked about how there's like 30 plus outfits you can put the main character in.
I think that's cool.
I think it's cool too.
Yeah, it's better than having one outfit and then one outfit that's just less of that same outfit.
Like Nier Automata.
Yeah.
Wait, she wears even less?
If you blow yourself up, you get like this weird...
You get the skirts gets taken off, so you just get a nice view of the ass.
Oh, okay. That's what all those ladder climbs are for.
Andy.
Did I ever tell you about the... I probably did. Never mind. It was going to be about Lollipop Chainsaw, but we can move on.
But I mean, it's a very interesting looking game, but I think the trailer did a very poor job of just showing it off. It was very slow and methodical.
Yes.
And it had kind of a very dull narration about it as well. Towards the end, it actually showed some combat and like boss fights and stuff like that. And it looked a lot more interesting, but it was very much kind of like a story trailer for a game where it's like, we don't... We have no attachment to these characters, so these scenes mean nothing to us.
Yep. A lot of emotionally stirring dialogue out of context, meaning nothing. But it looked cool.
Yeah.
I just remember when the trailer was running the first time, for some reason, I was thinking this could be a Parasite Eve game. And that's what was in my head.
We all thought that when it came out. We were like, is this going to be Parasite Eve?
How? Watching this, there's like literally zero to suggest it. So we need a new Parasite Eve. That's what I learned from this. Granted, the mechanic of the third Parasite Eve was her clothes coming off. So that's maybe there's a link. What's that?
Of course it is.
Of course it is. Actually, and they didn't even call it Parasite Eve 3. It was third birthday because I think they lost the rights to Parasite Eve. I don't know. Maybe that's why we'll never get it. But those jeans kept ripping.
They also gave a release date coming out April 26th. So not that far off.
Really isn't that far off.
Yeah. And I don't think there's a lot in that release thing. So that's, you know, this has a nice sleeper hit formula, if you know, a clear space for this game to come in and really dominate the conversation, hopefully.
Wait, is 2024 going to be the year that games can actually release and not be crowded out?
Without being crowded out? Yes. Yeah.
Because now we've got, I still haven't played Like a Dragon, as I committed.
Just as an aside, I beat Like a Dragon.
What? Already?
54 hours playtime. No. I didn't complete all the side stories, but...
Oh, I was expecting it to be way longer.
I think I completed the whole of the Animal Crossing storyline. I didn't do all of the Pokemon storyline.
Okay.
And I did maybe like half of the side stories.
Okay.
And yeah, about 54 hours. And
that's a very reasonable amount of time. I was expecting 100 plus.
I mean, I think if you here's the thing. There's this thing with Kiryu called life links, where like these, there's basically these little stories, side stories involving Kiryu. To get the last one, you have to do so many things. All those like little achievements, like take 50 pictures, dine at restaurant 50 times. You have to do a lot of them or grind out the dungeon to level up Kiryu. Either way, it'll take a while. I ended up just watching it. I got 1 through 8, and then the 9th one, I was like, I saw how far I had to go to get 9, and I'm like, I'm just going to watch it on YouTube.
That's fair. Well, just as a quick thing, would you recommend it?
Oh, yeah, it's a great game. It's top 3 Yakuza.
I'm so excited. Oh, I'm excited for that game.
Star Blade. Back to the state of play. Star Blade.
Oh, no. All these other games. You know what? God bless it. Maybe it'll be good. I don't know.
Next, they had a preview trailer for Helldivers 2, which is coming out tomorrow, February 8th. No reviews yet because nobody got review copies until the servers went live. There have been plenty of like preview events that people have played, and they say, you know, they had a good time with it. I never played Helldivers 1. Did you, Andy?
I did. I really liked it.
The switch from top down was not as jarring as they thought it would be going to third person. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like once you got used to it, it was cool. Are you going to be, Andy, you know, that's a game we could really knock out while we're waiting for Final Fantasy for the next couple weeks.
When does it come out? Oh, wait, tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay. How long is it?
I don't know. I've never played Helldivers, so I have no concept.
I feel like it's the kind of game you can drop whenever you have something more pressing and pick it up a few months later if you feel it.
Ooh, it's available on PC too. I don't even have to get it on the PlayStation. Well, I have to see if the crossplay works. As long as crossplay works.
I got a notification from Google. Now I'm wondering if it was fake because it was from like a no-name website. But it said like Helldivers has already outsold PAL World.
Yeah, that was the pre-orders for Helldivers are very high right now.
I didn't even know anybody liked this game.
I think it's in a time where RPGs are coming out hot and fast. By the way, Like a Dragon 8 sold a million copies. Fastest selling RPG game ever so far.
Oh, that makes me happy.
And Persona 3 Reload has also just recently sold a million copies.
Whoa.
Which is the highest selling Atlus game ever.
Really?
Well, like in initial release.
Even more than Persona 5.
In like initial like launch window, yes.
I guess maybe Persona didn't blow up really until 5.
Yeah. I think it was also a slow burn too. Like
that's
people
fair.
Had to.
That's interesting. I'm so happy to hear that about Like a Dragon though. Like, oof, that makes me happy. I was always worried that like no one's gonna buy it. But they did.
Woo! Maybe we'll play Helldivers this weekend, Andy.
This weekend I won't be. Well, we can plan after this.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll figure out the time. They also showed a trailer for Foam Stars, which released earlier this week. Again, people seem to have fun playing it. I don't like Splatoon style games, so it's not for me. But it's out. If you want to play a Splatoon game that's not on the Nintendo Switch, now you have Foam Stars.
And this one is season one is starting. So much like all the other online, not esports, but attempting to be an esports title, they're gonna have seasons, new characters coming out. Like it looks like a lot of fun, and I am a big fan of Splatoon games.
Oh, did you get into Splatoon, Derek?
No, again, I don't have a Switch.
Oh wait, that's right.
Yeah.
Derek, swear to God.
You're supposed to send Derek your Switch.
He has to ask me for it.
Oh, that's fair. I think I've just been trying to force it on you, Derek. I'm sorry.
Andy, you can really force it. You can pay for it.
Absolutely Derek. Not. You're a big boy.
From the sidelines. Next up, there was a trailer for Dragon's Dogma 2. And I got to say, this trailer actually got me super excited for the game because I think I've never really made this connection before, but watching this trailer made the game super feel like Monster Hunter, which makes a lot of sense because they're both Capcom games.
Monster Hunter, really?
Yeah, if you go and look at the trailer and jump to like, I don't know, like the 45-second mark, the way he's climbing on this dragon feels straight out of Monster Hunter.
Sure, sure, sure.
And yeah, I was like, putting it in that context of like, this is an open world fantasy RPG with Monster Hunter like mechanics, I'm like a little more excited about Dragon's Dogma now.
Okay. Did you play the first one?
I played a little of the first one. I never finished it. The first one was very, not to use a $10 word, but esoteric. it was very much where I was like, what do you want from me, game? It's just, I understand you have a rich story. I kind of just want to have fun.
Yeah. Oh, but for anyone listening, watch the trailer. I don't get Monster Hunter vibes at all from
it. Ooh, and you're a big Monster Hunter.
With them climbing all over the monsters and everything?
It feels more like scripted event time. From what?
That's not Dragon's Dogma at all. The whole thing with Dragon's Dogma 1 was that you could climb on anything. That was the big deal about it.
Okay, maybe it's just was weird because I saw the ogre thing run into the ice spikes and then just staggered there and just sat there for
There's a level of trailerness to it, right? But no, that was no. The big thing with Dragon's Dogma is kind of Shadow of the Colossus-esque. You could always like climb on the big monsters you were fighting and everything like that, and like surfaces, and you could throw people and shit like that. So it was very much a game about playing with physics and like climbing and stuff. So
I never played it. Was it on the PS3?
Yeah, it was a PS3 game, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I remember it. Like, I just remember it was supposed to be like, this is like Skyrim.
But yeah, I think it got sold. I didn't like Monster Hunter at that point because World hadn't come out yet.
Yeah.
And everyone. But yeah, now that I kind of contextualize it as being Monster Hunter like, and this is not anyone like in the press or saying that, but I could be wrong, but watching it from the trailers, I'm like, I can see the DNA.
I wonder if the.
And that's coming out in March 22nd.
Man, that's coming up.
Yeah. Will you have finished Final Fantasy VII Rebirth by March 22nd?
That's 22 days
after it comes out.
That's right. Wait. Oh my God.
Yeah, that should be plenty of time.
Wait, Rebirth is in like.
Rebirth is in 22 days from today's February 7th.
Oh my God. Okay, I'll think more about that later.
Next they had a trailer for Metro VR game. PlayStation VR desperately needs games. This one is coming. It says coming 2024, so we don't know when. After that, they shadow dropped a new Silent Hill little mini game called The Short Message.
Yeah.
Which is available now and you could play for free.
Did you play it?
No. I watched someone play it though.
Wait, are you a big baby?
Yeah. Oh, horrible.
Okay.
Hate horror.
Oh, you hate it. But isn't Silent Hill 2 one of your favorite games?
No, I've never played Silent Hill.
Oh,
wait, I remember playing Phasmophobia with you and you did submit a lot of time in the truck.
Yeah, no, it was, yeah. I nope out of those situations real quick. I'm like, yep, yep, yep. Phasmophobia had just the amount of right amount of jank and with friends that I could play it, though.
That's true. It was with friends. I have this really dumb rule that I cannot play a scary game unless it's dark out and with the lights off. And then I get too scared. So then I never play them. But I want to play it.
After that, they also showed the combat trailer for the Silent Hill 2 remaster / remake. No date, but it's just coming in. It just says in development for PlayStation 5.
That one.
I don't think it's a remake as much as a remaster, because if you look at it, I don't know. It looks like kind of Resident Evil 7-y in terms of graphics. So it's not like. It doesn't look like good. A brand new 2024 game.
Oh, I was going to say it looks very good.
Oh, it looks very good. Let's not. Yeah, let me not undersell that. But I don't think it looks like. Remember when like Demon Souls came out?
Mm.
Like it doesn't look that good.
Oh, I hear what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, listen, no,
this is not like it. This is not a complete rework of the game. This is an upscaling like and, you know,
and lighting update. Like
the lighting update, yeah, and probably some updates to mechanics to make it a little more reasonable for modern players.
I played the original for a little bit, and then I got like stuck in a hotel, and I was like, this isn't it anymore. But I feel bad. I feel bad. I like that's a game you're supposed to play. That's part of the canon of brilliant games that everybody loses their mind over. I somehow still avoided the ending. I still don't know what happens.
Shiba did it, Andy.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yep. There's a Shiba ending for it.
I don't know. Oh, is that the dog and the UFO?
Yeah pretty okay. much.
I just know they have UFOs, but
they have gag endings in Silent Hill, which I've always appreciated.
I beat the first one, though. I beat the first one. I think I may have told this, but the first one made me pee my pants at a sleepover. I remember.
It's good of you to admit that, Andy.
It's a very vivid memory. I remember playing it, and then we were all playing it, or I was just watching. Or no, I think I brought my demo over. So I did it to myself. I brought my demo over, and the demo takes place in the school, and I peed myself. So. I think I peed myself right in the beginning. Yeah. Okay. Well, ooh, and I was fourth or fifth grade. I don't know if that's too old to pee yourself.
Moving
that's
on.
Too old? when are you too old?
Who can say? There are other couple smaller announcements. Sonic Generations X Shadow is coming later this fall.
Hold on. I'm offended that you start off by saying it's a small announcement when that was the star of the show.
Ooh, what?
To be fair, so Sonic Generations is a game that's been out for 10 years.
Probably.
Huh?
Oh, I thought
you were wrong,
Derek.
No, it's a pretty old game.
Yeah. They're bringing it to the PS5, and they're probably in. It says PS5 and PS4, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're doing a re-release on PC as well. And they're adding, in addition to Classic Sonic and 3D Sonic, which is the whole point of Sonic Generations, they're adding a bunch of Shadow missions to it as well. From, I guess, Sonic Adventure 2. Where was Shadow in?
Shadow was. Didn't he debut in 2?
I think
so. He had his own game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't really go into. How much? It says here in the trailer, play Shadow the Hedgehog in a brand new story campaign and tackle iconic 2D and 3D stages as classic and modern Sonic in a newly remastered version of Sonic Generations. So, I don't know necessarily how much Shadow there's going to be in there, but
I imagine that there's going to be at least a good 10 hours of Shadow content.
Whoa, that's generous.
That's generous. Yeah, don't know about that.
I mean,
this is Sega.
Sonic X Shadow Generations.
Yeah.
Now, does Generations mean something to you, Derek? That this was your take of the show?
It's also the best Sonic game in the last 10 years.
We've been dry of a good Sonic game for
this is the last one. Actually, that's not true. Sonic Mania was good too.
Yeah, guys, Sonic Mania was.
But have you listened to the soundtrack of Frontier? Like the butt rock from it?
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. Like, it's like they don't use what is their name? Crash something?
Crash Bandicoot?
No, sorry. The band that makes, or Crush 42 or something.
Oh, I don't know.
The ones that make all the Sonic Adventure butt rock songs.
Okay.
The one, you know, where like in the second one, you're skateboarding down.
You're assuming I know too much about.
Oh, I thought it was a meme. Anyways, the butt rock is iconic. And then the new one has shifted. How do I describe this? But I went through a phase where I was obsessed with the butt rock in Sonic Frontier because it feels like it's like a kids bop version of hard like rock for like this generation, like Zoomers. And it's just so interesting. And it like unironically slaps. Like, I was embarrassingly into it.
So hold on. You're saying butt rock?
I don't know if you'd call it butt rock. But I consider, okay, well, what is the definition of butt rock? I consider butt rock like...
We have too much more to talk about to get into butt rock.
Listen, it's just, it feels like a parody of itself, right? Like it leans so hard into a trend that it's a parody.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, then it is butt rock. Anyways, yeah. Listen to the Frontier soundtrack. It's
They also showed a trailer for the PS5 re-release of Until Dawn, also V Rising, the vampire survival game that we had a good time with, almost a year ago at this point, I think.
I ended up not playing it because they didn't have controller support.
Definitely will now.
Okay, that's interesting because that's the last game in the past like 5 years I returned to Steam. I did not enjoy
it. I had a good time with it. I ran a server for it, honestly, because we had such a good time with it.
Did anybody think the Until Dawn trailer made it look worse?
Yeah, I think the lighting was off or something like that. They need a little more time on that game.
They're up-resing it or remastering it or whatever for PS5.
Where it's like PS4, rebuilt and enhanced is what they say.
Rebuilt and enhanced. It looked fantastic on PS4. And like now that they've, whatever you said again, rebuilt, it looks worse. It just looks worse. I don't know why they're doing it. It's not done by the studio. I don't remember their name.
Let's get to the two big stars
of
the state of play. First, we got our first look at Judas, which is, Ken Levine's new game from Ghost Story? And it's man, it looks like Bioshock in space. But you know what? I'm not mad about it.
Oh, really? I shouldn't say, oh, really. To me, it just said, looked like, yes, this is Bioshock. But...
I mean, that's what Ken Levine makes.
Yes. But even the graphics a little bit, like the character designs and stuff. Not that this should be a problem. I'm picking on something that does not matter. But it sounds like Bioshock is important to you.
I mean, I had a great time with the first Bioshock.
Did you play Infinite. The third one?
I played, it's what, one, two, and Infinite.
I think I played Infinite. Well, I did play Infinite. I know.
Infinite's the one in the sky.
Yeah. And I never
now you're really in the sky. You're in space. Derek, we can hear you typing.
Oh, sorry.
He's violently Googling Bioshock.
Yeah, I know. His mechanical keyboard mastery.
No, I was too busy looking up the $100 word that should come to mind every time Bioshock comes up.
Ooh, say it.
Ludonarrative dissonance.
I never know what that means.
Oh, I could have, Derek, I know that word's always on the tip of my tongue. Ludonarrative dissonance is when the gameplay does not match the storyline.
Yeah, and that was guilty of that in spades.
Really? I didn't think Bioshock was guilty of that. Cyberpunk is like the big one that comes into it where it's like, hey, you're going to die in 3 weeks. Do you want to become the best fighter in all of Night City? Do you want to run around and get all these cars for this guy? It's like, Like that's ludonarrative dissonance.
Oh.
When a game is telling you you have a short time frame, but that's one example of a ludonarrative dissonance. But yeah, gameplay and storylines do not mesh.
Now, Derek, what inspired you to use that word?
Oh, I think it was a bunch of games journalists would pull that term out of when talking about BioShock.
Really?
I don't remember anybody talking about BioShock with ludonarrative dissonance, but I could be wrong because BioShock was very much a linear storyline. So I can't see how the gameplay and the story weren't tied together.
I don't remember much.
It's just a few minor things, like your moral choices that were presented to you actually didn't get reflected in, like.
Oh, okay. Maybe I could see that. Yeah.
Like it was more just like do whatever you want. The results are gonna be the same.
Hmm. But it presented that it could be something.
Yeah.
That's fair. I think that's a fair. I don't know if that's necessarily ludonarrative dissonance, but.
That is $100 word. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Maybe I just roll my eyes every time I hear it, even though I never knew what it. Well, it's probably been explained to me before. All I remember about the first BioShock is remember I bought a 360 and then I bought BioShock and I was like, that made me realize what next gen was. Like that felt like the jump from PS2. And I remember what did it was in the beginning was like the stone staircase, how they were like wet. And I was like, this is the most brilliant thing ever. A whetstone. Look at this. We're in the future, guys. Thanks, BioShock. Well, and now we got Judas for more whetstones.
Yeah. Well, you know who lives in the future?
Who?
Fucking Kojima.
Oh, my God.
Because they closed out the State of Play with a new trailer and the official title of Death Stranding 2. Death Stranding 2 on the beach.
On the beach. God, that trailer.
I'm not going to really try to describe it because I feel like that does no justice to the fucking weirdness of this trailer.
Yeah.
But there's a couple things you can kind of pull out of it that aren't as crazily weird. One, this will be taking place in seemingly Mexico. Mm-hmm. The United States has been reconnected to the chiral network from the first game.
Oh, that's right.
And it sounds like you're going to be exploring the rest of the continent to bring them into the fold as well. Also, it sounds like they talk more about like weapons and like actual gun shooting. So there might be an emphasis on actual like firefights in this game, where in the first game they punished you by if you killed someone and didn't incinerate their body. The game would just suddenly end.
That's true.
So, yeah, it's, you know, that's interesting. I think that was a big complaint from the first game where it's like, why do you have guns if there's no incentive to use them?
Yeah.
So I think they're fixing that. But there's some returns in the trailer and some twists and turns and fucking weird ass shit. I highly recommend you go watch the trailer.
No, hold on. It's like, just go watch it because they've got a guitar weapon
that shoots lightning and is also a plasma blade.
It's all I could think was from the trailer was number one, I remember nothing from Death Stranding. Like, I
remember Death Stranding pretty well.
I remember loving it. And then now going back to this trailer, I'm like, what is anything? But also, there's a lot of stuff that's like trademark Kojima dumb, but Kojima always delivers even when stuff is dumb. Like he somehow makes it important to the world where you're like nodding along with him at the end. And I'm so excited to like learn the in-world reason why he has a guitar that shoots lightning.
I don't think there's going to be a reason other than it's cool, but
no, come on. It's Kojima. He's going to explain it.
Well, he had a guitar in the first game.
Really?
And also I think it's because Troy Baker plays guitar.
I don't remember the guitar.
I swear he had a guitar.
He might have. Again, I remember nothing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm watching the trailer right now. It also introduced a puppet that moves in 16 FPS while everything else moves in 60 FPS. Very weird.
I'm so
the puppet talk, by the way. Nobody seems off put by it.
No, nope, no one. Kojima's great. Kojima can do whatever he wants, and he never underdelivers. Death Stranding was great.
Yeah. Did they give a date for? I think it's a, let's see, 2025. So next year.
He still has a game going on though with Microsoft, right?
No. Or no. I don't know. Maybe that might be over. That might be OD.
What is OD?
OD was the game they announced the Game Awards with Jordan Peele.
Oh. So he's got another one. And then. Yeah.
And then after Death Stranding 2 trailer, they came out with Herman Holst and showed that he is also going to be making a action stealth espionage game for PlayStation, which will be his probably third. He'll be his next game after OD. Which means it probably won't see it till the PlayStation 6.
I have a feeling it's going to be like Kojima's last game.
He said that this is going to be the culmination of his 40 years of game development.
Ooh.
And it looks like he's just making a movie.
If you don't know, was it action espionage is how Kojima always described Metal Gear Solid. Right now, the working title is Physint, PHYSINT. So love like it. Physical intelligence, kind of.
Oh.
But yeah, I mean, we're probably not going to hear anything about that game for many years.
Well, but and then the big reveal was that like a drone flew out of the announcement and they were at some movie studio. Who was
they
it?
They were at, I think it was Fox.
Was it Fox?
I think it was Fox.
It was something. Like a name you know.
Oh, no. It's Sony Pictures because it's Sony.
Duh. Oh, that's fair. I was picturing Paramount. Or who's the one with the holding the torch?
Is that that's Columbia, who Sony owns them.
Oh, okay.
I think Sony is at the Columbia Pictures lot.
Okay. This, in my mind, was when Sony trying to get Kojima back. After Death Stranding, and they're like, no, Kojima, you can go your own way. Mm-hmm. Now they're begging him to come back with a stealth action espionage game.
Yep.
I have to say, though, knowing nothing other than that it'll be the culmination of his career, I have such high expectations and I can't wait.
Really? Wait, because you've played all the Metal Gear Solids, right?
Yeah.
Did you play Death Stranding?
I did not play Death Stranding. I'm too casual of a gamer to get into Stranding type gameplay.
Oh my gosh, shut up.
But no, I just never picked it up.
That's fair. Maybe watch it. I don't know. But the story I thought was fantastic. Do you think Jeff Keighley is going to be in it?
I'm sure he will.
Wasn't he in the first one, like as like a side thing?
Yeah, he was. He was one of like the colonists or whatever that you would meet.
Is Guillermo del Toro going to be in it?
We haven't seen him yet, but I mean, there's no reason he wouldn't be.
I'm forgetting. Yeah, maybe we did.
He wasn't Die Hard Man. He was. Is he just Die Man? Die Hard? He was Hard Man. I don't know.
But I wonder who's Kojima's new friends that are going to be in it.
Jordan Peele.
Who's that? Oh, Jordan Peele's going to be in it for sure.
Probably.
Hey, you know what? We've got a couple years. We have to be Kojima's friend. To the new one.
Listen, if Charles had stolen Shuhei Yoshida's phone, we could definitely have had Kojima's number.
That's true. Listen, he picks up for Yoshida.
Overall, this is a pretty good state of play. I'd give it 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
I think there's definitely been some real stinkers of state of plays lately, and this was, Death Stranding was doing a lot of work to pick that up to the 4 out of 5, but on the overall, still, I mean, there was a good pace of announcement in there. That Stellar Blade trailer, kind of weird. I still like the game, but it was just a bad
especially
trailer.
To open on.
Yeah.
Did it open with it?
Yeah, it was a 6-minute trailer, too, so kind of like it dragged.
And there was like dev talk and just oofta.
Okay, but I feel like a big thing for this is all the variety. They have something that can please anyone.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. They covered a lot of different genres and a lot of different types of games. So I think that's good. Yeah.
I'm excited. Oh, and they also did a Hoyo game, right?
That was Zenless Zone Zero.
What a name.
Yep.
What a name. But yeah.
Well, that's not the only state of play, because no. There was another state.
No.
Andy, it's going to be fine. I'm not going to spoil anything.
Don't spoil a single thing.
So there was another state of play that happened yesterday where they dived into Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. And honestly, it wasn't really that much of a dive, I will say. It was kind of just, it was a extended trailer, and they really kind of just showed, like, look at our open world that we have created. And they showed kind of a lot of the different zones that you'd be going to and the different environments of those zones. I'm trying to keep it nice and generic for you, Andy.
Thank you. I have avoided so much. And like my Google feed now has been, I've had to like, I'll see a picture, I'll see the first word of a title and just, oh, everybody's trying to spoil everything for me.
Yeah, they showed a lot of the, it's seemingly every mini game that was in Final Fantasy VII, they have re-engineered and recreated for Rebirth. No matter how silly or how stupid it was in the original game, they remade it, baby, and it's in there.
It looks like they're going hard.
They are. Again, I two saw discs, Andy. Coming. Two discs.
Yeah, exactly. Two discs. I have been completely blind to everything, so my only knowledge is the previous trailer. But they're going, and there's going to be a demo too, right?
The demo is out now. And there's going to be an update to the demo probably coming next week, because you have to figure they don't have that much time. The demo is the is Niflheim. What's Cloud Tifa's hometown, Andy?
Nibelheim.
Yeah, it's the Nibelheim section.
Yeah, because they did mention, or I saw a spoiler in an article title that, and it's not really, but that you can play as Sephiroth.
Yeah, but he was on your team in the original during that part, right?
Yeah, you never got to play as him, but he was there.
Well, I mean, yeah, but you control him, didn't you? Because he.
Oh, I guess, yeah. My brain was thinking running around with him on the map.
Yeah, no, but so, yeah, I mean, I don't know anything about story for it, but yeah, the demo contains that. It cuts off at a certain point. It doesn't do the whole story, but there's a bit of combat in there and all that.
I'm excited.
And then they said, yeah, they're going to do an update to the demo soon to give you a taste of the open world experience as well.
Wow.
I'm not going to play the demo. I'm just going to wait.
No, just wait. Just wait.
I watched people play it.
Oh, fair.
But I don't feel like a burning desire to play it.
Oh, this is why I didn't play Like a Dragon. And I'm obsessed with Like a Dragon.
I will say their focus on how many mini games and side quests there are in here did kind of give me pause, because I'm like, I'm not here for this.
Okay. You have to keep in mind that the main criticism of the first one was you changed too many things. The story's ruined. No more have ruined it. You know, people crying. So showing how much they're sticking to the heart and, you know, all of the memories that you made back as a kid where, God damn, you've tried to win that race so many times and the computer just cheated and then you finally won. Like, it'll be nice to go revisit mini games that like created real memories over some key story elements.
Andy, I will tell you, they did add a dating mechanic to the game.
What?
Yeah. is Golden Saucer, right? Is that where they hang out?
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently. So they added like dialogue choices to the game. So you can, and based on those dialogue choices, you can raise your like team party level with certain members of the team, and you can, by their words, go on dates with them at the Golden Saucer.
I guess that was kind of in the first one.
Was it?
Depending on, I don't remember what the qualifier was, but you would go on a date with someone at Golden Saucer. And Barrett could be one of them. Ha ha ha.
Okay. Because this sounds like it could be anybody, including Red 13.
Oh, see, that's kind of cool. No, he wasn't in the original one. And I thought they hinted at it in the first one. Because, like, you would have that flashback memory in the remake one where someone talks to you. Of course, Aerith talked to me. but Barrett was one of the people that could talk to you. So
yeah, it seems like they're adding a little bit of that, you know, RPG style like decision making in there. So okay. That's fun.
That's fine. That's fine. I feel like that's in the spirit of the original.
I am the undriven snow for our group, where I don't have any strong opinions about Final Fantasy VII. So everything I see, I'm just kind of like, oh, that's okay.
I have a burning and emotional reaction to literally everything. I don't know if this one's going to hit me as hard as the first one. I think I talked about it. Even the opening scene.
Depends
of the first
where
one,
it ends, right, Andy?
What's that?
Depends where it ends.
In the
story of Final Fantasy VII.
Where it ends?
Well, I mean, here's like, I don't know enough about storyline, but Sephiroth kills Aerith like where in terms of the storyline?
Oh, sure, yeah. I don't know if you'll kill her in this one, though.
Well, that's the thing. Who knows what will happen? But do you think that will be like the final story beat of this section?
I don't.
I don't think so.
I think that okay. The people's expectations are so high that that'll happen. But so
not,
much
not,
is already
no, been. No, 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 no. Not that he'll kill her. Because I doubt that that'll be the sit. They'll repeat that as well because it's almost too expected. But whatever should happen in that moment that will happen, that'll be the final story beat of the story. That's what I'm getting at.
Is there going to be three or four games?
Three.
Did they hint
that'd be too? That'd be too early for it to for
in
the
my
second.
Mind it would, but I don't know. I could be wrong. I could be. Wasn't there like a question mark for the four? I have a memory of them saying we'll do a fourth one if it needs it.
Oh, I don't remember that.
I could be wrong. Fourth Final Fantasy remake.
That seems weird because I don't know.
Oh, it'll be everybody's saying it's a trilogy. I just have this memory of them saying maybe this was before they revealed it was a three game. Anyways, I feel like it would be a weird place to stop it.
Okay. All right.
Maybe between disc one and two, that would make sense. If they're making a big deal about it being two discs. I would say that the death happens at the end of disc one because that's how it happened in the original. I think even the loading or like the disc change screen, I think I'm making it up. I don't remember what the disc change screen was, but my bets is if they kill someone, I think they're going to kill Tifa, but I think if they kill someone, it will be between the discs.
Well, they spent all that time modeling her though.
Okay. At this point,
what if he kills Barrett?
Oh,
that'd be fun. Just shoving Masamune through Barrett.
Man. But I don't know. I feel like everyone is on the table. Sephiroth could die at the end of disc one.
Ooh.
Be fair, Derek. Sephiroth's been dead the whole time.
Well, yeah, because this is Advent Children Sephiroth.
Which I still don't understand all of that.
I actually went back and I was reading the TV tropes for Final Fantasy VII to be like, how does this work again?
I should probably do that.
I read the Sephiroth page to be like, oh, okay, now I kind of get it.
I don't, but I'm just here for the fan service. Just give me things I remember so I can clap. That's what
I think it was a perfectly fine little state of play. I think it went out of its way to show, you know, like, the depth of how deep they're going into like these little side, like, cause I think the complaint I heard from people about remake was that it was very much a linear storyline, but I heard that's kind of basically what Midgar was anyway.
Yeah.
But I think people are saying like, you know, if you're going to remake it, why did you make it so linear? This one, I think they're taking that criticism like, you motherfuckers are going to have so much to do.
Yeah, that's the thing I remember from that one trailer was this seems big. Like, it's doing a lot. Like, the locations they were showing, like, it seems you're going everywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if this is going to be kind of like, you know what, maybe this will be, maybe Aerith will die at the end of it. I don't know. But, like, it's giving me vibes of the Evangelion Rebuild movies.
Yeah, where, I've been thinking that too, Andy.
Yeah, like where he goes, like he starts to change it and then he goes way off in the second half of it. And I'm wondering if they're going to do that, which I'm here for. And I was kind of there for in the rebuilds. And then no. No.
I liked how the rebuilds ended.
I respect you.
I'm sorry that you want, was it, what's his name? Something Anna?
Keanu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that you want him to be depressed.
I do. That's when he does his best stuff.
He's too happy to work on Godzilla.
I'm not going to get into that list. And to be on the record, I wanted it different. I wanted everything to change. I just thought the way he did it was bad.
Mm-hmm. Before we go on to the next one, is I Respect You with the northern version of Bless Your Heart? Okay. I got that vibe right there from Andy.
Wait, no. Oh, I guess. I don't know. It bums me out. Anyways.
Well, let's wrap this up with the rumor mill. Ooh. Because there's some interesting things been going on this past week.
Go in.
A bunch of leaks shot out of Microsoft this past week, basically saying that every Microsoft game is going to be coming to PlayStation 5. There's this leak about Gears of War, a leak about Starfield, about the new Indiana Jones game. And it got to the point where Phil Spencer himself sent out a tweet saying, quote, hold on, it's loading. Come on, Elon, faster. There we go. Quote, we're listening and we hear you. We've been planning a business update event for next week where we look forward to sharing more details with you about our vision for the future of Xbox. Stay tuned. So next week we're going to be talking about whatever the fuck this thing is going to be.
Let me just preempt it. I already released this news weeks ago.
I know. I was thinking that Derek's going to be like, I fucking called it.
The writing's been on the wall.
Wait, refresh me. Gloat. I'm trying to remember.
I've refreshed on what?
What did you say, right. Derek, specifically, Derek?
They're going to shift away from all hardware and just shift only into software.
Oh, yes,
Xbox Xbox Game Pass will come to PlayStation, and...
I don't think Game Pass will ever be on PlayStation, because that denies PlayStation money.
Yeah, I don't know if Sony would let it on there.
If not, then they'll just release the games on...
Yeah, for $60-$70. Because that way Sony gets its store cut. If they put a subscription service on there, Sony wouldn't get a cut. That they'll never do that.
Well, no, if it's a subscription on Sony hardware, they'd get the 30% cut. And that's
they would get some weird percentage that wouldn't be as good as them getting full game sales. And I still don't think they're pivoting away from consoles. I still think they're going to have a console. I think it's going to continue having a high tier console that will match the PS5, and they will have a low tier console for people to entry level into. I think they're just going to reevaluate how many of those high tier consoles they make. They're going to be like, yeah, this is going to be a luxury item. We don't have to make a million of them.
Like, I think it's obvious from a technical perspective that the Xbox does not match the PlayStation hardware at the highest.
Oh no, end. No, they're pretty similar. I don't. The only thing I think it beats is in the SSD loading time, because Sony devised their own fucking SSD chip for it.
Well, which it's not just SSD; it's APU optimization, which is going to be a bigger and bigger part of performance going forward.
Microsoft did something too with theirs, though, but that's also why you can't plug in any like M2 drive into the Xbox. You have to get a specific Xbox branded hard drive to expand the Series X. So they both have that stuff.
I mean, they both have it, but it's my opinion that the Xbox hardware falls short just when put next to each other.
That's fair. Well, we'll have to find out what Phil Spencer is going to say on another episode of Add to Party, a friendship simulator masquerading as a new show. I've been your host, James. I don't know. Maybe Barrett dies. Hartwell.
You stole mine. And
nice try. And I've been joined by...
I finally have one for Baird. Andy... I don't know. Maybe Tifa dies. That would be fine. Okay. And I've been joined by
Derek, rolling around at the speed of sound.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Crush 40 something. It's something. Thank you, Derek. You get it. Listen to Sonic.
Surrounded by Sonic nerds.
Shut up.
Genesis punks. Get out of here.
Oh my god, now that song's in my head. Mm.
Go listen to it. Have a good night, everyone.
Have a good night.
Have a good morning, afternoon, or night, wherever you are.
Gosh, so considerate. Oh,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.